Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today is Nick. How are you, mate?
Oh, could be better after this morning's result. It's still left a sour taste in the mouth. I mean, you have weeks and weeks of on a high, and the results keep getting better and better, and you're bound to lose eventually. And our luck ran out. Time came this morning, our time in Sydney, that is.
Yeah, bitter to lose that kind of game, especially a derby. I mean, we didn't lose a derby on last Thursday, Nick, but now you know how I felt last week. I felt so annoyed for like a day or
It's the
two.
worst, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's the
it's
worst
horrible.
coming on after a loss. It's the worst.
Yeah, literally. But we'll jump straight into the Super League results because they came about last weekend. So first one, Offi drew with Adromitos. So Philips for Offi scored in the 33rd minute. And then just before the end of the game, in the 86th minute, Jupitina equalized to get a draw. So not a bad result for Adromitos. It doesn't really do a lot for them.
Still winless.
Yeah, still winless in the Super League. Yeah. Tough. We said Offi is a tough place to go, but I guess a point isn't too bad considering the opponent and where they were playing. Next, Panserraikos 2-0 winners over Lamia, massive for their early hopes of staying up in the Super League table. And Nico, they have 14 shots, 7 on target, Panserraikos, so playing some really good football and getting a lot of chances to kind of win these games. Aleksic scored in the 66th minute, and then 4 minutes later, Stagos scored to make it 2-0. Lamia, also winless, if I'm not mistaken. No, they did win.
No, they've gotten off to a decent start.
Yeah, yeah, they've had a decent start to the season, but it's still a massive result for those two teams because they are relegation candidates, despite both of them having like decent starts to the season. So, really good.
For Panserraikos, it's massive. Out of the two newly promoted sides, they were the ones you wanted to stay up to have a good run out of Athens. You know, good for the league. It's a bit more spread out. Actually, not a huge club, but a biggish club. Like, we're proper. They've got history. They've got a very good fan base. They signed well. And they're playing well. They held their own against the bigger sides in the division. Now they're taking care of business against the sides around their level.
Like you said, Nick, I think it's not necessarily that they're a big club, but they are a historical club in Greek football. And you look back at what they've achieved.
With a good fan base. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that this result was coming because you look how they played against Olympiakos and against AEK. And so it's a good result for them. And they could very well get more of those results against the teams around them this season. So, you know, best of luck.
Stoikos, the goal scorer, that's Paskalis Stoikos, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, ex-Panathinaikos boy.
Yes. How long ago was
he ended up at Offi? He bounced around. He went Offi, now he's up at Panserraikos.
You know, he's making a name for himself in kind of the best of the rest Greek team. So, yeah, it's not the worst career in the world. Next, we move on to Sunday's game. So those two games were played on Saturday. Olympiakos recovered from losing 3-2 to Freiburg in the Europa League to absolutely smash Kifisya at home as well. El Kabi with a well-taken penalty. It was a Penenka penalty, if no one saw it. Daniel Pedence, one of the smallest players on the pitch, but got a header and scored his first goal on his return to the club. Stefan Jovetic also scored his first goal through a penalty after coming on, and Vicente Ibora also got his first goal for the club in added time. So pretty good result for Olympiakos. We played really well. It was nice to see Solbakken and Pedence play together on either side of the wing. And there was a lot of rotation from Diego Martinez, which is nice to see because I think in the end, and when the game ended, Nico, only two players from that game against Freiburg were starting. That was Ortega and Baskalakis from the Europa League tie. So good that Olympiakos can rely on, you know, some backup players. And so good result overall. And I guess, does this count as an Athens derby? Am I going to get criticised because Kifisya Athenian club?
You know my thoughts on Olympiakos though.
Yes.
What I was going to say on this game, that was the penalty, that spectacular old school Olympiakos style penalty that was given. That made the news, all the Panathinaikos pages, it made the news.
Which one?
It was doing the round.
The first one.
The one where the guy's like flying in the air. Was it Pedence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superman. That's why he's called Superman. Anyway, good result for Olympiakos. Deserved win. And we have a start off the season very well.
You're always going to win that.
Yeah, well, you know what, Nico? Maybe last season, maybe we wouldn't have, but this season, I think we will win the vast majority of those games. Aris is next, and Aris got a 3-0 win, comprehensive 3-0 win over Panathinaikos. So, Moron, it makes me laugh every time. Moron scored twice, first in the 22nd minute and then in the 55th minute. And then Lazaros Christodoulopoulos, there we go, scored in the 85th minute. He has now scored, Nigo, for every all of the big five Greek clubs: Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, AEK, BAOK, and now Aris. So good on him. It's a milestone for him in the latter stage of his career. And you know, pretty routine against Panathinaikos, who are bottom of the table, worst goal difference, and still without a win.
Yeah, but huge. We'll start on Panathinaikos quickly. Huge turmoil there. We hammered them last time round that we discussed. They've copped another battering at the hands of Aris away. It's going from bad to worse for Panathinaikos. I knew they'd be in for a rough season. I mean, 7-8 years ago, they were one of those solid, steady clubs that it's been a slow decline. A couple of years ago, I remember we all tipped them for relegation. Now it's all coming to a head. It looks like this season. Something's got to change there or else they're in huge, huge trouble. As for Aris, as you said, the routine, they needed it. Let's face it, their start has been far from great. Both Europe, they got bundled out, the league, poor as well. So they needed it.
And I think for Panathinaikos, I've said it before, I think this is definitely a hangover from last season's playouts because they were awful in the playouts last season. It looked on paper that they recruited okay. And Michael said it. Michael didn't feel as though the Greeks that they brought back, who, you know, maybe have been former potential players, former like wonder kids, just aren't performing because they just, that's not their level anymore, unfortunately. So look, Panathinaikos in a really difficult place. Aris, on the other hand, had a bit of a slow start to the season and now starting to pick up a little bit now. They play Olympiakos next, which we'll get into in a bit.
That's a big game.
Yeah. They're starting to find their feet now. I think with Aris, whenever they get knocked out of Europe, which unfortunately is quite consistently, it just kind of kills their momentum, surely. It must do. Like, it must kill the players' sort of confidence as well, because they have all this excitement of trying to get into Europe, and then they've not, what do they have to play for ultimately? It's just the league, and you know, maybe winning the Greek Cup would be a great result for them, but
Or away? We'll get on it later, but is it home or away?
So Olympiakos, I think, host Aris. We've had a lot of home games at the start of the season.
Is that not a game last season where they took points off you?
I think it was it was the game where Kalos Korkoran lost his job. I don't think it was at Kariskaki we lost to them. I think it was maybe in the playoffs, but certainly away I think we lost to them.
A regular season a draw or a loss or something.
We lost to them in the regular season.
That's the one I was talking to.
The first time we played them in the regular season. Then in the playoffs, we were 2-0 up and then they came back and drew 2-2. And that was the game when, ironically, I think both Corporan and Miguel walked after those results. So Aris, it was really a thorn in our side last season. Hopefully that's not the case come tomorrow. So next game, Volos in trouble because they lost at home 2-1 to Asteras Tripolis. So Miritelos scored in the 7th minute, followed by Droganovic in the 22nd. And then Druillet scored a penalty in the 59th minute, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for Volos to get anything from that game. And Asteras, Asteras are 6th right now, so having an okay start to the season. And meanwhile, let me just have a look. Bear with me. Volos are still without a win, Nick. They're from bottom. Joint bottom points with Atromitos and Panathinaikos. Really poor from them. If anyone's having a hangover season, it's them after finishing 100%. The last season.
100%. They're really feeling it. And again, they're one of the sides that we speak about Panathinaikos. They've got that history, the fan base. Volos doesn't have either of that.
No.
So it's you could even call it back to reality. Really, they've had a high of a couple of seasons where they were never in danger. last season comfortably in that top six. And this is why I think Ardis is gonna have a hand on fifth from early doors. Not that it's an achievement, fifth in Greece, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, I think
they're not going to be in danger of playing in those Ardis in those playoffs.
No, but I'm sure that you must get more money for finishing in the playoffs and even finishing fifth and sixth without being in Europe. Michael's joined us. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Nick. How you doing?
How are you?
Good, thank you, man. Good, thank you. We're just going through the league results. So we've just spoken about Volos, Michael, because they're struggling without a win this season so far.
Good. After the...
That's what I said.
Well, after the shit that they pulled off with that Slovakian player and released them after, conceding penalties and handballing the box against AEK. Look, karma what's happening to Volos. I'm sorry to say that, but as much as what they did last season was very good, but look what's happened to them now and karma. What can you say? So, yeah. Good, and you have a lunatic owner and a lunatic mayor that's running the club. Yeah. What do you expect?
Yeah, crazy. And I don't feel like, for judging by your guys' takes on Volos, you won't be too upset if they were to be relegated.
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as I want to see the two historic clubs back where they belong, I mean, this club that we see now, Volo, they all merged from two historic clubs. One was Pirna Kritu, and I forgot the other one, but Pirna Kritu was a very historic club in the region. And, you know, if Volos decides to disband, you know, it's sad that a club like Pirna Kritu had to merge like that and become a super club. And, you know, it's just sad.
Was it?
You know, because of one...
It wasn't Olympiakos Volos or Niki Volos, was it? No. Are they still
clubs,
they're
two
right?
Separate.
Yeah,
they've
yeah.
Got history.
They're two
they've
separate
got
clubs.
Fan bases. They got fan bases and history, those two.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I can't just, remember. It's just club. it was a two set of clubs. One of them was definitely Pirna Kritu. They were a very historic club in the region, and Beos just he picked that club and another club. I forgot the name of that one, and merged them into a super club and have the ambition of to rise up the ranks of the Greek pyramid. And here they are in the Super League. Look, they've done some good things, but the downside of it all is they have no fans. They can't attract a crowd. And the only crowds they're attracting is from the away fans, such as Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, Balk, AEK, even Ardis to a certain extent. They get some decent support down there. And you know what? Lamia too. Like, anytime Lamia goes there, they get a decent set of fans there, and even Atromitos. Like, it's just this, they put these Volos people to shame because they have
the
there's no Niki Volos and no Olympiakos Volos is up in the top division, and this is the
fan base in the history.
Yeah, that's right, and this is the state Niki Volo have a good fan base, and so do Olympiakos.
Yeah, but
Volo.
I'm saying their history as well. Like, they've got a proper the way they were formed and all that.
Yes, exactly right, and. These two clubs, as we're talking about, Nicole, Niki Volo, Olympiakos Volo, they have a pedigree.
Yeah,
we need clubs with a pedigree in the league. Like, it's nice to see some new clubs up and rising. Like Gifisha, that was a merger, but at least they have some sort of pedigree about the club. So, but the thing with Volo is they were formed by two historic clubs that had a fan base and they were strongly against the idea of forming this super club.
So,
and, you know, and look, they've done nothing.
So I've just read, because I always get confused by this. I keep thinking it was Niki Volos and Olympiakos Volos that merged, but that was the failed merger.
Around.
But apparently it was just Pirna Kritu that was dissolved and Volos FC was formed from that club. So it wasn't a merger. It was just they dissolved one club and then they made Volos. That's how it happened.
Okay.
So
that's a Beos thing. For sure, then.
And I don't know. I know we're staying on Volos a bit longer, but I don't know why. I've always thought of if Red Bull, for example, ever wanted to take over a club. For some reason, I always think Volos would be the club that Red Bull would take over, even though it makes no sense.
In the history and the colours.
Red Bull Volos.
It makes sense.
I mean, you know what? Now that we're on that topic, boys, if you come to think of it, if ever Red Bull decided to invest in Greece, it would have to be in the big cities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Leipzig is a pretty big city in
Patras,
Germany, and so is,
Larissa.
And oh, I don't think Patras. They were probably,
yeah.
It is a big city, but they will want something more. They would want to invest in the team that has a pet, that has like a
Heraklio.
That has a
where else?
That has geography.
Heracles, maybe.
Where else?
Heracles would be one club.
Yeah.
Atromitos. maybe. I don't know.
We were talking, Michael, just before you came on with pedigree. I was saying about how Panathinaikos has that pedigree.
Yes.
And they've been a good
And look, they got a decent crowd against Lamia. It's good to have them back. Yeah.
I follow a few different pages on social media, like with the Greek fans and home fans, away fans, all that stuff. Lamia, when they first came up, they had nothing. They've actually got something these days, to their credit.
Lamia's a, you know, to be fair to them, they have a little bit of a big city. I mean, they got a decent fan base. Lamia, like they've got that stadium there, 7,000 seater. They get decent support. But I think, look, as we've said it on the podcast many times, we always say their time has come to an end. But look, their time's not over unless they keep up with the good football and the good philosophy. I mean, right now, under their coach, Vokolo, they got something good going. And if they can keep this going, they can do some good things. That's all I can say. Just don't run your club like a clown show. Like we've said it many times with Levadiakos. They come back up again. After one season, they're gone.
Yeah.
Because they just can't get their shit together.
That's Alafuzo's best mate.
Yeah.
Kombotis.
Right. Let's move on to the penultimate game of the round. So it was Balk getting a 3-1 win on the road against Bas Yanina. So... Gonzandelia scored in the first minute and then Bas Yanina equalized through Bamlidis in the 25th minute, and then Gonzandelia scored his second in the 33rd minute, and then 77th minute Zivkovic, who's been in hot form this season, has scored the third for Balk to get a good win on the road for the Thessaloniki side. And if you haven't seen one of Gonzandelias' goal, which we shared on social media, my goodness, is it a good one. He's such a good player. And I'm so, I say it all the time, I don't think I've enjoyed a player in the Super League outside of like a young Greek player who doesn't play for Olympiakos more than Gonzandelias in recent years. He's such a talented player. And so, yeah, guys, a good result for Balk because Bas is still a tough place to go.
And look, give it another mention to Balk's attacking line. We talked about it midweek when we were reviewing the European games with Balk's win against Helsinki. We were talking about who is leading their attack. Is it Samata or Brandon? And Brandon started this match against Bas Yanina, and looks like Brandon is finding his old self again. He grabbed two assists this game, and he's really fitting into that style of play that Luchescu wants, because he's got that fast-paced players around him, such as Zivkovic and Costandelias, and that's exactly what Balk need. He's exactly the type of player that they need to lead the attack, and paid off in this match against Bas Yanina, which as we all know, it is a tough away fixture to go to, and credit to them, they got the win. And they go on to the next match. It's not easy going there.
No, for sure. And other big sides have struggled at Bas in recent years, particularly Panathinaikos, if I'm not mistaken, Nicole. Though you did beat them early doors this season, so
that was the first time we went back to back.
Yeah, exactly. So
back to back seasons up there. It's as you boys were saying, it's a hard place to go. But I found this one surprisingly too easy for Balk. Considering we went up there already this season and won, Balk's gone across there and won. Yeah. They weren't great. They weren't great last season. This season, so far, they haven't shown much improvement.
Who, Balk?
No, Bas.
Bas Yanina. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah,
Bulk would be fine. No, a lot of people are saying on Bulk, they're going to be the same as last year. I think they've actually improved on last season. Ladder wise, they might end up there, but I think they've improved as a team.
Yeah, I think so. I think they like we said before, they haven't made the stellar signings of Olympiacos and AEK, and maybe even Panathinaikos with some individual players. But I think what they've done is they've recruited well, and they have focused on getting rid of some of those older players that they really needed to shift, because they had so many old deadwood players that in their squad. So they've recruited very shrewdly this summer. And you know, again, the big one obviously was Despidov. And he makes such a huge difference for them, having him on one side of the pitch as well, next to Konstantelias. Yeah. So, yeah, good result for Balk. You know, even though Bus is still a tough place to go to, no matter what. Okay, so now we move to the big one. And before we actually move to the game itself, I have a bone to pick with Google, because Google normally shows all the games and all the results and updates the league table. This is the biggest game of the weekend for Greek football, and no update whatsoever. It said the game was played yesterday at 7, and that's it. There's no result, no score, no scorers. It still has like mid-table, so they haven't updated the Super League table either. So I'm going to have to – I've had to open up a different tab. So AEK went to Leóforos and beat Panathinaikos. Sorry, Nico. But Juricic scored in the 10th minute for Panathinaikos to put them ahead. Then Zuber scored in the 36th minute. And the winner was scored in the 68th minute by Pineda. So good win for AEK, coming off of a also brilliant result in the Europa League away to Brighton. And they had to travel all the way back. I mean, wasn't it? Didn't Almeida say about how the travel and how difficult it would be for them to come back and play this game? That's why they wanted to move it to Monday instead of Sunday.
Yeah, that's why it got pushed back 24 hours.
Yeah, so brilliant result for AEK. And on the Panathinaikos perspective, firstly, Nigo, disappointing result for you guys, of course.
Real kick in the teeth, this one. On all fronts, really. It was a weird, the whole thing from pregame, it just had a weird start. As I said, from the pregame with the crowd, it dragged into the game. Bomb goal, top goal by Zuricic to get us up and running. Then we stopped playing really after that. 1-1 at halftime was probably the fair result. We came out and tried to change it in the second half, but we just couldn't. And I love Jovanovic, but his record now against them from the last couple of seasons so far, it's only 1-5. He's got to, next time we play them, he's got to really get it right. This is a game we won last season, the corresponding fixture. And this is what I was saying before about Olympiacos. How I like to look at it is you want a better your last season's results. So we're essentially 3 points backwards now on last season because we won this game. So for me, the only way we're going to get this back is we have to go there in the regular season and win, because we lost there in the regular season. I mean, we've got the players to do so, but he's got Jovanovic's measure at the moment, and this is something he's got to fix. Europe, for sure, not that it's an excuse, Europe played its role, no doubt, because you've got our most important player, Ruben Perez, that's he struggled. And what was baffling about this one was the players around Perez. Personally, and this is the conundrum we've got, if you're going to play Ruben Perez, you've got to have a runner next to him. And that runner, full of energy, is Tsedin. He didn't start this game. Instead, it was Villena, who's a bit more of a luxury player compared to Tsedin. So maybe if you're going to play Villena, you've got Araujo, the workhorse there. But then if you don't play Ruben Perez, you lose out on the build-ups from the back. So it's a catch-22. And this is going to be our big conundrum this year. And to just rub salt into the wound, the worst part about this game wasn't even the result. It was the injury to our Colona, one of our most important players, Magnussen.
Yeah, and I was
we've got decent
that.
Depth at centre-back, but that's whoa, yeah. Huge blow.
And it's an ACL as well. So essentially he's out for the season now.
Yeah, this is going to be back, harder to cope with.
Yeah.
Harder to cope with than Aitor last season. Honestly.
And then Yedvai comes in, and I think we said in the chat yesterday, Nico, Yedvai is a more than suitable kind of replacement for Magnussen. But then the problem with that is you with bringing in Yedvai, who's behind Yedvai? Because then you have less
Palmer
and less
Brown.
Cover. Yeah, Palmer Brown's a good
Palmer
player.
Brown's Very, very shrewd signing, that one from us. Again, very little game time, but the little he's played, can't knock him. Been very impressed with him. It's then after that, as you said, after Palmer Brown, considering there's Europe as well. Yeah. And also, I think for me in this game, because I thought it was out injured, it's not a long-term injury this time, but he was out. Palacios mustn't have been able to have started, just the backing up with a turnaround. So then we're down to bare bones because Verbitz is still out. So we're starting, we've got players out of position, shoehorning again back to last season on the wing. Mancini, the only winger. This is, I would have loved another winger in the transfer window. Michael will know, there's 4 days left to sign free agents, I believe.
Yes. Yes. I don't think Panathinaikos will aim anything.
We're not going to sign anyone. I know that. It's just a separate point there, but I would have liked something else, as I said, in the wing positions. Ioannidis started again. Yes, look, Jovanovic has to find a way. We went there last season in the playoffs, the first game of the playoffs, and we're probably the better side in that one and should have won it and didn't win it. So we can do it, but we're already up against it. And the Magnussen injury is just massive, massive. I feel for him. And but back to the drawing board for us, and yeah.
And on the side of Ike, Michael, sorry, a really good result for them because they had a really good campaign in Europe to qualify for the Europa League, but they had a bit of a slow start to the season overall in the Super League. So, you know, after the result against Olympiacos, they started to look a little bit better. And now in this one, it's a big result to be a local rival. So,
sorry to cut Michael off. It's their first, and Michael will confirm it, their first win at Leforos in 19 years.
I don't know. I saw something about 2006. I don't know. I could. I don't know.
Still a long time.
Either it's at Leoforo or just away from home. I don't know.
I'd say Leoforo because not Oaxaca.
I saw a stat like that. Yes. I don't know. It could be either at Leoforo or just away from home because both Panathinaikos and AEK have interchanged with Oaxaca over the years. And then AEK finally got their new stadium with Hagia Sophia. And Panathinaikos still had the use of Leoforo and Oaxaca in between the years. So I don't know if it's at Leoforo or Oaxaca, just away from home. But the stat is there. You're on the dot there, Nico. I'm not 100% sure on it.
It's something along those lines. The only other thing about this game was I think Galanopoulos should have seen red. When the guy's on a yellow and he commits, you've probably seen it, Michael, he commits that challenge, doesn't even go for the ball, gets the player, he's on a yellow. That's a blatant second yellow.
Yeah.
And again, we were second best in the game. We were second best, but there was controversy with this refereeing appointment and he had a shocker. That was a clear second yellow.
I guess we are going to get into that referee conundrum because we heard the news.
We have to.
Yeah.
we don't want to.
Yeah.
We have to.
What can I say? It's just the same old story with refereeing in Greece. No matter who's in charge, foreign or Greek refs, Nico, we've seen it over the years many times. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Look, I want to say something about AEK. Let's get to that now.
Go for it.
Yes, they started off slow, but at the end they won like champions. The way they came back after that first goal, after conceding the first goal, they came back like champions and they won like champions. And I think what motivated them was because of the slogans by the Gate 13 Panathinaikos Ultras. That is what definitely motivated them. And
As I said, Michael, it was a weird, weird game. And that mate, that's when I said weird, that's what I meant.
Yeah, look, I know how you feel, Nico, and surely not all Panathinaikos fans think the same.
Surely, it's a minority of people.
I'm sure there's a minority in the ultras that say, "Look, why are we doing this shit? Why are we celebrating a murder of an AEK fan? Like, it's just ridiculous."
Look, I didn't really want to talk about this, but with this, you've got fans in 13 that are more right-leaning. So that's where the links with Dynamo Zagreb come in. Then you got fans that are more left-leaning, which is where the thing with Roma comes in. Our only official affiliation is Rapid Vienna. So it's not even Zagreb or Roma, but you got left and right. But I know there's a key figure in 13, Dokken. Most Panathinaikos fans would know him, and he's really anti it. So I'm shocked a banner like that went up.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and you know what it is, it did affect your team, Nick, because that is what definitely motivated Ajax to win the game short, because Galanopoulos came out post-match and said, banners are disgusting, blah, blah, blah. We dedicate the win to Mihaly. We're happy to win this game. They're glad they won it. That's what motivated them.
Aitor didn't play this game, and he called it out in the pregame. Yeah. If you go on his Twitter, Aitor called it out.
Yes, I saw that, and I was wondering. That's what he meant. I'm going, and that's
what he meant.
And I had to go on. That's what I had to go on the Greek media to find out. And yes, that's what he was referring to. And it's just disgusting. Just why do that? I know it's your rivals, but like it's just no place for it.
When you bring stuff like that into the game, that goes beyond football, and you're celebrating like we've said, the death of somebody like that, it's just a disgrace, honestly. And look, this isn't me bashing Panathinaikos fans as a whole, because it's not a majority of Panathinaikos fans who feel that way. It's a minority of people who have decided that it'd be a joke to do that in the derby against Ajax. And you know, it's good that even some Panathinaikos players, like you said, Nico, came out and kind of deposed what they did, because this shouldn't happen in our game, and it just raises more controversy that's needless in football, especially because it goes beyond football as well. You celebrating the death of anyone is disgraceful,
honestly, because it's been discussed like today. But on my honest opinions, and I must have said this before, I don't want any affiliations with anyone. Just mourning must just get rid of all of them. There's Romas, from the left, and the Rapids, and the Zagrebs on the right. We're Panathinaikos, and just keep it as us only.
Well, this goes into the thing about what was said early doors in the season, which was discussed by all the big clubs, owners and representatives, and Mizodagis and Alexander Seferin as well. Like, would this change if we got rid of the other ultra groups and kept the core ultras for each club? So, you know, Gate 7 for Olympiakos, Gate 13 for Panathinaikos, etc. Would that help? Or would you still get this minority of people? Because you can never fully get rid of it. But do you think it would help?
This minority is so small. So even in the stadium, I reckon 99% of people in the stadium were opposed to it. Mm. Honestly, that's how shocked the banner went up. 99% of Gate 13, I reckon, is against it. And the key figures are against it. I don't know how it went up.
Yeah. Look, Nick or Steve, I'm going to put this out. I'm going to put this question there. You think there'll be consequences Panathinaikos will be facing for that banner?
See, I think if something like this happened in the Premier League, 100% there would be consequences. Because there is zero tolerance, and so people can get lifetime bans for this sort of thing in the top level of the top of Europe's top five leagues. But I hope that there is consequences for not that doesn't necessarily affect the club itself, because it's not Panathinaikos' fault as a club, but those individuals need to be punished. But I don't know if they will catch be. And I wish I couldn't didn't have to question
him?
That.
How do you Look, catch?
I know it's that, I know, the sorry, Nico. Yeah, I know it sounds like a stupid question I asked, but the reason I ask that question is because it's Greece. And when we see this kind of stuff, usually most of the time, nothing happens.
Mm.
That's why I ask it. So,
look, I don't think will happen.
You think I would put, if I think maybe something will happen, maybe just close off the Gate 13 section and just have the rest of the stadium open. Like we've seen it in the past with Balk when they had the derby with Ardis. Remember the Park Artis Derby a couple of years ago? They lit up flares in the last minutes of the game, and the match was suspended for like half an hour, and all the people left, and they continued the fight last 5 minutes of the match. And next thing we knew, Park were banned, the Park ultras were banned, but they kept the stadium open.
Mm. Well, look at what happened when Olympiakos lost to AEK last season, and then there was issues there. Like we didn't have fans for our first game of the season anywhere. Not just Gate 7. The whole stadium was closed. So, look, I don't think that was just for
anything
general,
will happen either, honestly.
Yeah, and that was all just for general like fan issues. Whereas this goes deeper than that. So really, there should be punishment, but I don't know if there will be. And
the thing is, how are you going to punish 99% of fans?
Exactly.
Like I was saying before.
Yeah. I don't think they should.
Like I said, what they did with Balk, they just closed off the ultra section. That's it.
That's a possibility.
And that's what they should have done with the Olympiakos band too.
Yeah.
They should have done. Yeah. If they did that with Balk and Olympiakos, they should do that with Panathinaikos too for this slogan. It's just disgusting. There's no place for it. It's just unfortunate that this win for AEK is overshadowed by that, but it's just sweet. It's a sweet victory for them.
With regards to putting it that way.
Yeah.
With regards to the footballing point of view, it's a good win for AEK. You know, that puts them up in the table. And I just checked that record we spoke about earlier. So it depends on how you view it, because when the last time AEK beat Panathinaikos when they were the home team was in 2006 at the Athens Olympic Stadium. But the last time that AEK beat Panathinaikos at Leóforos was 2001. So it's kind of like it just depends on which stadium you'd say is Panathinaikos' like definitive home stadium. But you know, because at the time the Athens Olympic Stadium was Panathinaikos' home. So yeah, so it's been a while since AEK has won away at Panathinaikos.
Not good. Honestly, Steve, this has left a sour taste in my mouth. The whole thing, weird. And we're 3 points down now from last season, so we're in catch-up mode. I know it's a long season. The Protathimas, in theory, it's not over, but the Magnussen injury, the banners, everything. Look, honestly, for us, the best thing to come out of all this is that there's midweek football coming up, and it's against a team. This is how I look at it. This is against a team we lost to last season, not drew. We lost at Asteras Tripoli away.
So
if we want to get back on parity, because we're -3, let's get back on parity, go to Tripoli, win that game, because we didn't last season.
And Asteras have Rastavac back as coach, and they're starting to get their shit together.
Yeah, they look good in their win.
And then there's bulk after that for us.
So before we go into the upcoming fixtures, we'll look at the table. Again, Google didn't update the table, so thanks, Google. Olympiakos are top of the table, 13 points after 5 games. Balk second with 10, Panathinaikos on 9, and AEK on 8 as it stands. And then the best of the rest, Ofi on 8, Aris and Asteras on 7, Panathinaikos mid-table on 6th, Basyanina on 5th, as is Lamia. Gifisia is on 4 points. And then bottom 3, Volos, Adromitos and Panathinaikos are all on 2 points. Be interesting to see if both promoted sides stay up the season and we see two regulars go down. It'd be very interesting to see that.
Oh, look. You see Panathinaikos' performance against Aris. Again, another dreadful showing from them. And they are not looking good at all. Nah, and that was the ideal fixture for Aris, and that was a nice routine win from them. I'd just like to add in my thoughts there. But Panathinaikos are looking dead. They're looking dead, and they're looking set for relegation if the way things they're going. Their setup in the lineup is just weird. Like, it's just not suiting the players at all. Like, it's like they've never played together at all. I mean, I know they've had new signings around in the summer, but there's just no connection between all the players. Nothing at all. Nothing's happening.
Because we spoke about this just before you jumped on, how bad they've been, and you're saying the same. But what I was going to ask you is, because they've been regulars, as I said earlier in the show, they were never really in danger 6, 7, 8 years ago. My question is, how long have they been in the top flight for? How many successive years? It's got to be about 11, 12 at least.
Yeah, at least. The last time they were in danger is when my club got relegated. We were fighting with them, and we missed out by 1 game. Yeah. We missed out by 1 game from the playoffs. And that was the last time they were in danger. They had it. They were having another shit season then. But the way things are going for them now, they're looking set for it. They're looking set to go down.
And look, it's still early in the season, but like you said, Michael, things can change, but things can also stay as they are if things don't move forward as they hope for.
Absolutely, Stephen. But look how many goals they've scored so far. How many rounds have gone past? Five?
Four for them because they played a game less. But yeah, it would be five rounds.
Okay. How many goals have they scored?
They have scored one.
There you go. And how many goals have they conceded?
Nine. So second, is that the third most? No, fourth most, sorry. So not the worst got away goals, but
that game's Panathinaikos, that game in hand. That game in hand for Panathinaikos is high.
Well,
so
good
add
luck
the
to
goals,
them.
The
you go.
Goals conceded record, add some more goals there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are looking dead, and no matter who. Who's then? We'll see their next game because we're going to talk about it anyway.
Yes. Well, just so happens, Michael, that's the very first game of Wednesday. So Panathinaikos will host Ofi. So tough team
there you
to
go.
Host. And I don't know if they're going to get a result in that one. But look, now that I've said that, they probably will. So it's going to be a tough one for Panathinaikos to host the Cretan side. And then biggest game of the round, Kifisia play Lamia. I'm joking. So that will be an interesting game though to see what both teams can do, because again it's sort of like a relegation 6-pointer almost, and get, you know, these teams are going to want to beat each other as early as possible to get those points on the board before they play some bigger sides. Balk host Volos as well in Dumba. Should be, considering how Volos are at the moment, should be a routine win for Balk again. I guess this is the biggest game of the round, actually. Olympiacos hosts Aris, probably the biggest game of the round. Midweek.
Big game.
We they're at Gariskaki. I said to Nico, we've had a lot of home games this to start the season off.
Did you boys know that for this game, Olympiacos and Aris, there's a foreign ref, but in the past there's been Greek refs.
Yeah.
So how does this shit add up?
I don't know.
They've got a Swedish referee for this one.
It's weird because obviously Aris are one of the bigger teams. It's not a derby as such, but it is a big game. I can never remember if away fans for Aris are allowed to Olympiacos. I presume they're
no.
not. No. So that's probably why then this game has been deemed important enough whereby a Greek referee isn't allowed. And there we go. So,
but in the past, Steve, there's been Greek refs.
Yeah, yeah. I think even last season there was Greek refs. I'm pretty sure because people were complaining about it, particularly Marinakis and probably Karapapas as well. I think they can probably complain that there was Greek referees last season for these fixtures against Aris. But
I don't understand how they're picking a foreign ref for this game, and they're picking a Greek ref for a derby.
Like, yeah, that's it. That's the biggest shit show of the season so far. That whole refereeing issue.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to be the case unless we find some consistency, some clarity on why refs are being picked for certain games. Because for derbies, it's been made clear foreign referees should be officiating derby matches, because then it at least means that if a decision goes against a certain team that may be controversial, at least you can't blame the Greek referee because he's not Greek. He's a foreign referee. Cool.
We've had foreign referees now in Greece. I think this is the sixth season. Started around that 2018, around that sort of period. And Aris, as Michael alluded to before, that they're one of the sides. One game they've got a Greek ref for a derby. The next game they've got a foreign ref. So the EPO, the powers that be, someone has to make a call on Aris. Greek ref involving Aris games or foreign ref?
Well, against
and stick with the permanent,
against Balk,
not chop
did
and
they
tank.
Have a against Balk? Did they have a foreign referee? Because that's the last big game they played. I'll have to double check that. I can't remember if
that a Greek ref, Papa Petru.
So yeah, Papa so Petru why is there charge. Now a foreign ref for this game? That's literally their biggest rival.
Amateur clown shows. Whoever they
there
find,
needs to be
whoever's available,
man. It needs to be
whoever's available.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
whoever's and they're so called elite. What's elite about these guys? Have a look at the ref in the Panathinaikos 8 game that I was saying. And yeah, the definition thing. Of elite there.
I know we're going off on tangent.
He was out of his depth.
But the thing is, we do have top level Greek referees as well. You know, there are Greek referees who officiate in the Super League who also have officiated in, you know, the Champions League or the Europa League, you know, which is seen as the top of the top kind of in UEFA. So, yeah, I think at the same time, we have to look at our top level Greek referees, maybe not for the biggest games, but certainly to officiate bigger games more consistently rather than getting poor quality foreign referees, because I don't really see the difference. You might as well have a top level Greek referee than a poor foreign referee, or just, I don't know, get top level foreign referees. The next game, so Thursday fixtures, Panathinaikos hosts Bastianina. So that's going to be a cool one too, actually, considering sort of they're both around the same place in the table, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they're only a couple of places away from each other.
I think Panathinaikos have got the win there.
I think considering they're at home, I would put them as the favourites for that game. But you never know with Bas. Asteras, as you said, Nico, they are host Panathinaikos as well. So you guys, you said you lost that game last season, didn't you?
That was the Kourbelis red card last season. And we we went on to lose 1-0.
Well, he's not there to get sent off this time. So maybe
we'll touch on Kourbelis. Now, Greg's abroad segment, we'll touch on him.
Yeah,
We lost this game last season. For this game coming up, I believe there will be fans, which will help us.
Yeah. And then lastly, AEK host Adromitos in the Athens derby. I'm just going to call every game an Athens derby at this point just to annoy people. But yeah, there you go. That's the round of fixtures coming up on Wednesday and Thursday. And looking forward to them. It's nice to have some midweek Super League to watch. So I guess now, like you said, Nico, we'll go to Greeks abroad. So we'll start with Kostas Tsimikas. He signed a new contract for Liverpool. I believe it's until 2027. And we have a lot of mixed feelings. I've made my feelings clear about Tsimikas in the past and very recently. Michael, you're the Liverpool fan in this chat. Give us your thoughts on Tsimikas staying for another, coming up to 3 years now, 3-4 years at Liverpool.
Oh, look, I'll say this. I'm happy he's staying on. He's a perfect backup for Robertson. So whenever Robertson is unavailable or being switched to, or being, pushed aside for Tsimikas is the perfect backup for him. It's like, and I have never had a problem with Tsimikas playing. And he comes on and does the job, does as good as Robertson. And what more can you ask for him? He's played 63 games for Liverpool and has provided 12 assists in all those games. It's a pretty good record for a backup. And if clubs are looking at that, he can easily be picked up by a big club, no problems. Happy he's staying on. As I said, he's a perfect backup for Robertson. But then on the other perspective is, I just wish he was a week in and week out starter for Liverpool. That's the only thing I wish for. If he's happy where he is, you know, being around all the quality players, training with them, I guess that is to his benefit. But the other downside is he's not starting games every week, which we all want him to, because he's pretty much our number one left back for the national team. And as we saw from the September break, it did show signs of him, his lack of rhythm from the start of the season. He's not played. He was yet to play for Liverpool until the Europa League group stages started. He started for Liverpool against LASK Linz, the Austrian side, and they got the win. And that was his first appearance for Liverpool, full appearance, actually. So there's the positive and there's the negatives from my side, and I guess that's for everyone's side too.
Steve and I spoke about it. But off air,
yeah,
I made my thoughts to stay pretty clear.
Yeah, and I think that I'll hark back to what I think. I was I was so forward to Tsimikas being back up to Robertson, because obviously in his second season in particular he was getting a lot of game time, and so it almost justified him being there, because he would never take over Robertson's place as the starting left back. But he was getting so much game time and playing so consistently and playing so well that it almost didn't matter. But these last couple of seasons, I think he's taken a bit of a step back in how many games he's been given and how many opportunities. And like I said, Klopp has a pattern of doing this. Whenever he's had a poor season, he just sticks with his boys that he trusts. And I get it, because Robertson played so many minutes last season. But it really disappoints me that Tsimikas, I don't know if he even had 1,000 minutes last season. He barely played.
But I did.
Did he get 1,000 minutes in the end? Because when I looked at it at the time, I don't think he had. Fair enough.
Yeah, he did.
But now that all of these games are coming up, you know, they play in the League Cup tomorrow as well against Leicester City. So you'd assume that he'd start that game as well, because they'd rest Robertson for their upcoming league match on the weekend, which is against Tottenham, which will be a massive game. You'd hope that now he's going to get a decent enough run of games, because Liverpool have started off fairly well with regards to performances and results. And like you said, Michael, there's the Europa League, where Liverpool are hands down favourites to finish top of their group. And I don't think Klopp will risk playing Robertson in those important games until the knockout stages, if and when they reach that point. So for now, Tsimikas will get more game time. But I do hope that this contract that they've signed, it maintains his value, which is really good, because I still think he does have a good value. I don't think it will have decreased too much from when he first signed from Olympiacos. I think obviously it would have become more so, considering he's now a full-fledged Premier League player. But I still hope that he leaves, because I want him to be the week in, week out left back, because as good as it will be to see him play more consistently for Liverpool, I don't think his full potential will be realised until he leaves. Because I don't think when Robertson starts to peter out, I don't think Tsimikas is going to take his place. They will find another top level left back, and Tsimikas will either be the backup, or they will sell him on as well. Because Klopp isn't going to be there forever. He might outstay Pep in the Prem, but I don't think Klopp is going to be there for a long, long time. I just hope that if it's not the end of this season, then at some point Tsimikas decides that he's done enough at Liverpool. He's won some trophies. He's played reasonably well, and he's shown himself to be a top level player. But to go to somewhere where he's the starter, because I've said it a million times, barring two or three clubs in the Premier League, he could start for every single one of those Premier League sides.
Yeah.
And look,
thumbs down.
One of those for me. One of those Premier League sides that were after him in the summer was Aston Villa.
Oh, you would have loved him there, Nico, wouldn't you?
Were we? Were we? I never saw his name linked with us. We've got two left backs.
Who's your technical director?
Our one now.
Mm-hmm.
At Villa, Monchi.
Yep. Monchi. Okay. He came from Barcelona, right?
Yeah.
He was at Sevilla, before Barcelona,
correct.
Right?
With Emery, correct.
And we all know Sevilla. Tsimikas was linked with Sevilla, along with Liverpool back then.
Okay. There's the link.
So there you go. There's the connection. And Monchi, whatever his name is.
Monchi, was. Yeah.
Okay, he did have Tsimikas on his list of left-backs over the summer.
Look, Luka Dean, there was. Luka Dean was going to go, 100%. Now he's playing out of his skin. But he would have been backup, because Moreno's first choice and killing it. He's been injured to start the season. But when he's fit, he's not losing his place. Why would he come to us and be backup? This is the thing, as I was saying to Stephen. For me, I know there's going to be a lot of Liverpool fans listening to this, and I'm glad you touched on the negatives as a Liverpool fan. For me, it's a thumbs down, honestly. I'm not bagging out Liverpool here, because for Liverpool's point of view, that's how you act. That's how smart clubs act. You protect yourself. You get these players on long-term deals, and if he's to be sold, you get a massive fee for him. You don't lose him for next to nothing or next to nothing.
Yeah.
But for him, surely our Greek guys, they've got to show more ambition. Olympiacos to Liverpool, great. There's ambition. Spend a year or two as backup. He's ticked that box. Move on to the next challenge, because as we said, he'll play for most Premier League clubs. So my thing, I remember saying it at times last season, he'll play for 75% of Premier League clubs comfortably. Start.
Yep. Absolutely.
And as you also said... Iramisiras really against the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, look, hopefully with more game and time coming, hopefully for the October break, he might look a bit sharper and he'll get called up. And barring an injury, I think he'll get called up. So there's no worry of that.
Now, look, boys, I think you saw the difference between Tsimikas and Giannoulis over the September break. Giannoulis was on the ball against Gibraltar. Yeah,
spot on.
I know it's against Gibraltar. I know that. Like, okay, people are going to be listening to this and they're saying, why are you saying, look at the difference between Tsimikas and Giannoulis? But we saw how Giannoulis was against Gibraltar. Like, we saw his sharpness, his match fitness is like off the roof. He's starting week in, week out for Norwich City. And we heard some time ago that he was at the exit door. Yeah. And then I don't know who's the coach at the moment for Norwich, but he has really shown his trust in Giannoulis and his style of play. And Giannoulis is not a bad left back. I think he's just as good as Tsimikas. Only there are slight differences between the players. Giannoulis likes to attack more, and we know that for a fact. He likes to run too. Yeah. Tsimikas is more solid defensively, and that's the differences between the two. And it's good to have two good left backs. But we saw over the break who was the one that was more sharp, and that was Giannoulis.
Mm. Because even if it's the championships, it's a great competition.
You've spoken the facts, Michael.
Because the championships are a great competition, and it's still good to play at that level week in, week out. And the manager of Norwich City is David Wagner. Yeah, that's who he is.
That's it. Yeah.
The fake Jurgen Klopp, as many people.
Well, he was at Huddersfield, wasn't he? Years ago?
Yes, he was. He took Huddersfield up, if I'm not mistaken. They had a really good first season, and they then had one of the worst seasons in Premier League history after that and got relegated. Yeah. But I mean, look, we're very blessed at left back with these two players, and it's good competition, if anything, for Tsimikas, that Giannoulis is looking so good for his club that Poyet might think twice about necessarily playing Tsimikas. I think Tsimikas is the definitive starter, but I also think that it's not clear cut that Tsimikas will play. If Poyet sees Giannoulis playing more consistently and better for his club, Then in training he looks more sharp as well. You never know. Maybe he picks Giannoulis over Tsimikas, but we won't go into Poyet's choices of call ups. But some of his logic isn't based on how well you play for your club.
No, that's right. But look, if I'm being honest, both players suit Poyet's style. Like, it's really good. But if we're going to talk about really in the attacking sense, it's Giannoulis. Because he likes to get in the... He got in the box so many times against Gibraltar. It was just crazy. And Tsimikas can do that, but it's just lately, I don't know what it is. He's having that lack of confidence. And I think it's got to do with his game time. And he just needs to get into that rhythm again. That's all we need from him.
Yeah, and like I said, with more game time, hopefully tomorrow in the cup and then in the Europa League, I think that we'll see a better Tsimikas coming into the October international break. And boy, do we need him for those must win games against Ireland and the Netherlands. Yeah. I guess is there any lasting thoughts on the Tsimikas news, guys? Before I move on to Greeks abroad. Yeah, cool. Right. Been a lot of goal scorers in it for Greek players abroad this weekend. So Yakoumakis scored for Atlanta United in MLS. Pavlidis scored again for AZ Alkmaar. Bukalakis scored for Hertha Berlin, which is quite an interesting one to see. That was a good one. He's enjoying his time in this fight, the Bundesliga. Good on Bukalakis. He'll get a call up to the Ethniki, I don't doubt. So let me just think. There was a few others as well.
Zolis.
Penalty? Yes, Zolis, brilliant goal from Zolis. He's in such good form. There's another one that I really, really love, even though he's about former Balk player. Like, he's such a good player. And he needs to be called up to the ethnic gear ASAP. Whether that happens or not, I don't know, because I don't dictate who gets called up. But probably the biggest goal of the weekend was Duvikas scoring for Celta Vigo against Barcelona. And I think it was their second goal in a 3-2 loss. Yeah. So they were 2-0 up, Celta Vigo, and then Barca came back and won 3-2. But yeah, great goal from Duvikas, and he's really showing himself off in La Liga, scoring against such a big side as Barcelona. So really good for Dovigas, because you always worry about players taking the step up to La Liga, and I've always said Greek players don't tend to translate well in La Liga in recent years, but he started off okay. His first goal in his first three starts, so hopefully he can score a few more. And you know, he still has time. He's only just signed for the club, so yeah, good for Dovigas. And I guess another goal scorer that I wanted to touch on was a young man called Nicolas Agrafiotis.
Agrafiotis, yes.
Yes. So Greek father, Serbian mother, but born in the Netherlands and plays for Eredivisie side Excelsior. So he's scored 5 in 6 appearances this season. So really, really impressive from him. He's not played for any of the Greek under like youth sides. He's played for the Serbian under 16s in 2016, but he's one to look out for, I guess. It's not like we haven't got a lot of forwards who are informed for their clubs. And I think he can play on the wing, even though he's primarily a striker. But there's one to look out for.
He's a really big boy, I'm telling you.
6'3". He's a chonk.
He's a big boy for a winger. So no way he's going to be playing on the wings. He's really having a breakthrough season. Like, where was he before this? He was like, oh, look, I'll just watch Yakomakis, Pavlidis, Duvika score the goals, and I'll just come up the next season. I'll just score goals too. You know, he was hiding somewhere.
Yeah, he came through.
Or maybe he went to the Yakomakis goal scoring school. I don't know. Like, this is just crazy. Like, we've never heard of him before it. Like, and now he's come up with all these goals for his club. He's really got something good here, you know, like, and good on him. Like, the only problem is, who's he going to choose? Serbia, Greece, or Netherlands? He's got three choices.
Well, I mean, look, if Greece were in a better place, qualifying for stuff consistently, I'd say hopefully he'd choose us. But Serbia have been more successful in recent times to get to major tournaments. Obviously, it's the Dutch are the Dutch, but it's just how confident he'd be about, if he got in the squad, how confident he'd be about getting actual appearances for the Dutch side. So, yeah, I mean, I think any of those three are very viable options for him for his international career. But hopefully he chooses Greece because he looks really good right now. And it'd be a bit different to have. I don't know how tall Yakoumakis is, because he's a bit of a monster as well, isn't he? Like, how tall is he?
Same height.
Okay, yeah. So we just have two. Imagine if we played a 4-4-2 and have both of those guys up top with just two trees up front. That'd be really funny. But yeah, good on Nicolas, and yeah, hopefully he continues his scoring season in the Eredivisie. But yeah, so I think that's everything, guys. Is there anything you want to touch on?
Yeah, a couple other Greeks that Mavropanos got his debut at West Ham. So he's up and running.
Yes, in Europa London. League. Yes.
Yeah, Europa League. Siopis, again, I think he's playing regular minutes in Cardiff, doing well by all accounts as well.
Yeah, Cardiff along fans with, really
along
love
with, him. Along with Gutas. Gutas is having he's showing good signs there too. Yeah. Also in Italy, Hadzidiakos is playing. He's starting for Cagliari since he signed for them. And we're going to go down to the second division, where I'm going to bring up an old name. We all know him and we've talked about him. We've even scrutinized him to the max.
Yeah.
His name is Vasilis Zagaritis. He's starting week in, week out for Parma. He's getting minutes. So it looks like he's had a change of fortune there. And looks like it's paying off, because he's already played six games so far this season, and most of them have been in the starting lineup. So it looks like, as I said, he's had a change of fortune, and he's getting on there at Parma finally.
Yeah.
What's that, about 4 or 5 years? Yeah, 3 or 4 years later.
Top of the league as well, Parma, after 6 games. So, yeah, good start for them.
Did you guys also see Vlachodimos was left out? He didn't start for Forest.
He's been left out. Turner's been playing over him, and this is another worry I have. Like, he's our start. He's Greece's starting keeper.
I can't believe it.
Surely they didn't bring Vlachodimos in to be a backup to Turner. There's no way. Because this is what George was saying about saying as well. He's like, oh no, Vlachko Dimas is going to go there, be a backup. And I said, no. Like, they brought in Turner. I know they promised Turner first team football, but surely they're going to play Vlachko Dimas, you know, Champions League goalkeeper, won multiple titles with Benfica. But nope, he's been on the bench. So I don't know.
What the hell? Yeah.
I think maybe it's due to Forest having a fairly decent start to the season. I know they lost to City, but they've actually looked quite solid, even with Turner in between the sticks. So maybe that's why. But yeah, Vlachko Dimas is way too good to be a backup. But
100%.
Maybe he's going to sit. Maybe he's going to sit it out this season. Then next season he gets his chance, because Turner, I think, is only in on loan from Arsenal.
Then there's another stupid Greek abroad move that I said was stupid from the get go. I called him out back then. Gourbelis.
Yeah,
he's gonna be terminated.
Is he?
On the verge of.
Is there a reason why?
The fans don't want him. The coach doesn't want him. The club doesn't want him. He's having a rough old time over there.
I haven't heard anything like that. I just know that he's just having trouble getting on. He's just having trouble fitting into the environment. That's all I've heard.
Why on earth would you leave the captain of Panathinaikos to go sideways?
The thing is, Nico, that the Trabzonspor midfield is so stacked. How does he fit in? They've got like 14 players in the midfield, and he just does not.
Stupid man. Get a sniff. Yeah.
And he was linked with Celtic and Rangers early doors in the summer. Rangers in particular, he could have gone there and had a, you know, play in the Scottish Premier League, play for a very big side. I don't know why he wouldn't have taken that opportunity, but maybe it was to play with play with a few Greek boys who are at Trabzonspor. I don't know, but yeah, and be close to home as well, I guess. But still, it's just crazy from him. And Go for it, Michael.
Oh, just wanted to mention there was a match again in the second division in Italy I want to speak about.
Sure.
And that was with another young player that we've also talked about, Ilias Koutsoupias. And Apostolo raves about him every time he does something good. And he is one for the future. Like, I would love to see Koutsoupias in the Ethniki one day. He's exactly what we need in midfield. Box-to-box player, can attack and defend everything. Now, he scored two goals for Bari just past this weekend against Catanzaro. And Catanzaro have a couple of Greeks there too. One of them was the goal scorer, Dimitris Sounas. If any of you boys remember him back in the day, he first came from Aris. That's where he first broke through.
Mm-hmm.
And for Catanzaro's second goal was assisted by another Greek who played right back for them. His name is Katseris, and he's a 22-year-old. He's a 22-year-old right back, maybe one to look out for, because he's also getting minutes there too. So look, we've got some... We always talk about Greek players in the Netherlands is the breeding ground, but looks like Italy is starting to be that breeding ground again for the Greek players.
Particularly in Serie B, yeah. It's interesting, especially these like young, talented players who have really nice potential and starting off so well. So we definitely want to look out for. We'll keep an eye on them.
I mean, Sounas is one of those guys that was back with the Bakasetas and Gourbelis. He was part of that group, Sounas. He's just finding his feet in the Serie B in these days. So, I mean, at least he's doing somewhat okay. At least he's playing consistently over the years, no matter where he's been and in lower division clubs. Doesn't really matter. At least he's doing fine. But still, he's part of that generation, that failed generation.
Yeah. So look,
it's nice to see one match where all the goals were contributed by Greeks.
Very much so. Very much so. And he's like you said, he's had a lot of, he's played a fair few, he's mostly in Italy in his career, in kind of the lower divisions. Yes. But he's having a good time of it at his current club. So yeah, good on him. Even if his career didn't go quite the way we expected. But then, like you said, Michael, with that generation of Greek players, you could say that for a vast majority of them.
And that right back that I just mentioned, Katseris, his name's Panos Katseris. So if I can just look him up, he's 22 years old and he doesn't really have a Wikipedia page.
He is on
yeah, so
transfer
he's
mark
just
though.
started. Yeah, he's on transfer market though. So there's not really much information about him. That's the trouble. But he's just starting to break through it at Catanzaro, which is nice to see. You know, we always hear about these unknown Greeks in Italy. They just pop out of nowhere, and look, the more the better. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
good luck to the kid. See what he can do. Maybe we have to keep an eye on him as well.
And I mean, that's mostly just down to Christian, because Christian just finds all of these players from the depths of football, like, where you would never expect to find a Greek player. Christian can find it. So credit to him for doing Greeks abroad, and finding
Oh no,
all the names
so
I've never even heard
Steve,
of before.
actually Katseris is not on there. So
Ah. Okay, well, I take my compliments, Christian, away. You should have mentioned him, Christian. You should have put him on there. No, I'm joking. Christian's very consistent, and I'm sure he'll add him next time he plays.
No, sorry. He is on there,
Oh my
Katseris.
God, fine. There you go, Christian. You can have the compliment back. I take away my criticism now. It's all Michael's fault. It's all Michael's fault.
Sorry, Christian.
Man, anyways, is there anything else we need to quickly mention before I wrap up?
Couple of things before we wrap up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
A couple of things before we wrap up. Who's going to get us over the line for 10,000 Twitter followers, guys?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. We're so close. We literally have eight. Yeah, well, yeah, 8 or 9 followers we need to get to 10,000. So, guys, please send the channel, send the Twitter page to anyone you can think of, because we just need to get over that line. It's going to be amazing once we hit 10,000 followers on Twitter. It'll be huge for us to kind of get that landmark over the line. So, yeah, I mean, like, we're that close. We can almost taste
Yeah,
it.
exactly. And we've been putting in the hard yards. We've been doing midweek podcasts as well. We do this for the love. If you're listening, Spotify, please jump on 5-star review if you're happy with our work, because we've got more in the works coming up. It's as we said in the preseason, this is the biggest season in years for Greek football.
Yeah, and we hope it all culminates with Greece qualifying for Euro 2024, because that would be massive, if we could do that. And not just for us, but just for Greek football in general, because it's been so long, and we that would, I think, be such a big boost for everyone. But yeah, I guess we'll go into the wrap up now. So thank you guys for so much for listening. As Nigo said, please get us to 10,000 followers on X/Twitter. Whatever you still call it, if you can, please send it to anyone you can think of who's interested in learning about Greek football in English. And if anyone doesn't know about Greek football in English, tell them to give us a follow anyway, so we can get to 10,000 followers. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well. And please give a 5-star review on any podcast platform you listen to us to, because we are pretty much on every platform you can think of. And yeah, we'll do another podcast after the next round of fixtures. So I assume it'll be Friday we record it or something. And thank you, Michael and Nikov, for coming on and chatting with me.
Too easy, man.
All right. Cheers, guys. We'll see you next time.